Jesus departed from there and came to his native place, accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astonished. They said, "Where did this man get all this? What kind of wisdom has been given him? What mighty deeds are wrought by his hands? Is he not the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James and Joseph, and Judas and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor, except in his native place, and among his own kin and in his own house." So he was not able to perform any mighty deed there, apart from curing a few sick people by laying his hands on them. He was amazed at their lack of faith. The Gospel of the Lord. Now, I know I usually don't start off with any jokes in the homily, but I found a few over the 4th of July that I just feel obliged. I feel like the Lord is calling me to share these with you, so just humor me with a couple of these probably bad dad jokes about America and the 4th of July. Do you guys know where there aren't any knock-knock jokes about America? Because freedom rings. Thank you. And as a red-blooded American, I like to take my coffee black and my tea in the harbor. Finally, my favorite one that I found was, do you know why in America canceled is spelled with one L, but in Britain it's spelled with two? It's because in 1776, we gave them that L. But as we celebrated the 4th of July this last week, we celebrate our nation's independence. We're proud to no longer be a vassal of the King of England or to have to answer to those Brits across the pond. And I always enjoy Independence Day, the 4th of July, because it reminds me of kind of that spirit I had as a young kid. I'm very much a middle child. My sister's a year older. My brother's 14 months younger than me. And so as a typical middle child, I loved to be independent. I think probably to the chagrin and frustration of my mom most of the time. That I didn't want anybody to help me with anything. If I could do it, even if it took twice as long, I was going to do it by myself. Didn't want anybody to suggest a better way to do it or a better way to think about it. I wanted to be independent. And so that spirit of independence that we celebrate has always been very attractive to me, has been something that seems worth celebrating. But as I thought about that this last week, I realized following Jesus in the life of grace isn't really about being independent. Because our independence usually focuses on our abilities and our strength and the things that we can do by ourselves, the ways we can pull ourselves up by our bootstraps. But God, and especially in his embodiment in Jesus Christ, he doesn't prefer the people that are strong. He doesn't prefer the ones that can do everything on their own and don't need anybody's help. Said Jesus prefers the weak and the poor. He seeks them out to love them. He seeks out those that are sick and unable to do things physically on their own so that he can give them that help. And Jesus truly prefers the poor and those that are independent to those that are independent. And I prayed about that and I said, so it's probably better that we actually like moments when we can't be independent. And yet that's really hard for us, I think, especially as Americans, but really in our human condition, we want to be able to do things on our own. We want to be successful and strong and do things because I am able to. But in the order of grace, in a life and relationship with Jesus Christ, I think we actually have to be humble enough to accept our weaknesses and our failures. Not because they're good in and of themselves, but because in that weakness, we can actually seek out the help and grace of God rather than doing it all on our own. I think that's what St. Paul is really getting at in our second reading today. That as we get to the heart of the second letter to the Corinthians, we have this beautiful passage where Paul talks about this thorn in the flesh. Now, theologians don't know exactly what it was. It could have been a reoccurring physical ailment. It could be some sort of pain that he always dealt with. It could have been a physical or maybe even sexual temptation that seemed to persist with him throughout his whole life. Could have even just been the fact that he wasn't a very good speaker or wasn't very imposing in public. You hear about in other parts of the scriptures where he would show up in a certain town and they would be pretty unimpressed by Paul. They said, Paul, in your writings, you were very powerful and impressive, and you showed up in person and maybe aren't quite as tall and as strong as we thought you would be, or your speaking really isn't as good as you are on paper. But whatever this thorn in the flesh was, it clearly wasn't just something that happened to Paul once. It wasn't just something that was a little bit of a nuisance that he tried to deal with on his own. But he kept coming back over and over and over again. He says, three times I begged the Lord to take it from me. Brothers and sisters, I think we can all relate to Paul at this moment of the letter. That we all have those things that we carry with us throughout our lives that we just look to the Lord and we go, God, why can't you just take this away from me? Why can't you just take care of this problem? If you just got rid of this, it would be easier for me to glorify you, to do good things for others, and to be a good Christian. But I think as he responded to St. Paul is oftentimes how he responds to us and our desire to get rid of the problem. Because see, for God, the problem isn't our weakness or our failures. The problem is when we try to handle it independently instead of bringing it to him and seeking our strength from him. That's why when Paul says he begged the Lord to take it from me, but God said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. For power is made perfect in weakness. Brothers and sisters, when we brush up against our own thorns in the flesh, our own weaknesses and shortcomings, I think it's meant to be an invitation to depend perfectly on God our Father. That rather than trying harder or fixing ourselves, we can turn to him humbly and say, God, I can't do this on my own. Instead, I need you to be present and to love me in the midst of my failures. Because when we do that, we can become like St. Paul, who actually starts to rejoice in his weakness. Right? He says, therefore, I'm content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, and constraints. For when I am weak, it is then that I am strong. For it is then that Christ lives in me. I think it took Paul most of his lifetime to realize what it meant to kind of give up this spirit of independence, this desire to do it on his own, and instead to be content and actually find joy in being dependent upon God our Father. And so often it's in our weaknesses and in our shortcomings that we come to that realization, that we realize that we have to turn to God to be that strength for us. There's a story of Bishop Fulton Sheen that I think really encapsulates this need for us to brush up against our weaknesses and turn to God. Archbishop Sheen was the bishop of New York City in the 50s and 60s. He knew many popular people, many famous people, and many powerful people. One of the people who he was preparing and going through instruction with to hopefully bring her into the church was actually a U.S. congresswoman. She lived in New York City. She was well known throughout town. She was quite famous. And she came to Archbishop Sheen just interested about the Catholic faith. She wasn't sure if she was ready to enter the church, but she wanted to know more about it. So she started coming for a few weeks, and Archbishop Sheen came to find out that a few months before that, that her young daughter had died tragically in a car wreck. So they went on with their instruction, teaching about God and about creation and about the goodness we encounter in Jesus. And then one day, Archbishop Sheen was teaching about the goodness of God, telling them about how God in his abundance pours out that into creation and into our own lives. This woman kind of started fidgeting and she couldn't really take it after a little while, and she just popped up and shouted towards Fulton Sheen. She said, if God is so good, how could he allow my daughter to die like that? How could he allow her to be killed in such a tragic accident and bring that sadness to me and my family? And without missing a beat and with incredible love, Fulton Sheen turned to her and said, "Perhaps it's because in your suffering, you would be led back to him." I don't think for Fulton Sheen that was just a pious platitude or just a way to explain away the evil that she had encountered, not caring about the sadness that she had in her family. But I think as a saintly and holy man, he knew that in our weaknesses, it's those moments that force us to turn back to God. It's not that God wants to add more suffering to our lives or make us miserable, but instead he wants us to realize that we don't have to handle those problems on our own. But when we encounter our weakness, when we encounter that kind of suffering, it's the perfect time to turn back to him and realize his goodness. That the goal isn't to get rid of the thorn in the flesh, not to flee from those problems or those difficulties, but instead that we embrace them and humbly bring them to him. And simply say, "God, this problem is too big for me. My weakness, I will continue to come up short. But I believe if I give it to you like St. Paul did and so many saints before us, that I can actually be strong in those moments. That in my weakness and hardships and persecutions, I can start to know that your grace is sufficient for me. That power will be made perfect in my weakness." So brothers and sisters, as we come off this celebration of our nation's independence, let us be joyful in the ways that we are independent and able to do the things that we need and are called to do. Let's also not make an idol out of independence. But instead, when we're dependent on the people around us or dependent upon God's grace in our lives, that we can actually embrace that as a good thing. That in our sufferings, in our weakness, or however that thorn in the flesh appears in our lives, we can realize them as invitations to trust in the goodness of God. That in those moments, we can seek out his grace and his love, knowing that in our weaknesses, his strength can persevere. We can know, like St. Paul, that when I am weak, I truly can be strong, for it is then that Christ will live in me.